Euzubillahimineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillah ve sallallahu ala seyyidina Muhammed ve alihi tahirin.
Allahümme salli ala Muhammed ve alihi Muhammed.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Yabtaguna min fadlillah وآخرون يقاتلون في سبيل الله فاقرؤوا ما تيسر منه وأقيموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة وأقرضوا الله قرضا حسنا وما تقدموا لأنفسكم من خير تجدوه عند الله هو خيرا وأعظم أجرا واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم.
We're getting closer and closer to the end of this surah. And as the brother said, I was happy that I was getting closer and closer to the end of my stay. But you plan and Allah plans. And Allah says in a famous hadith that, O son of Adam, O people, you plan and I plan. But in the end, it's going to be what I planned. So I can't do anything about that. So we're getting close to the end of this surah, inshallah. After this is over, we will, inshallah, from tomorrow, start something else, something that I feel needs to be addressed, inshallah. أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says to the believers, those who were the group of mu'mineen that were with the Prophet, and they were practicing what the Prophet was doing, which was to do Salat al-Layl, to stay up the night at least half, a little bit less than half, a little bit more than half, to the extent that they weren't sleeping at all because they wanted to make sure they're securing that much of the night in prayer and worship. This was causing trouble. Allah says, فَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah is going to be flexible. He doesn't want this from you anymore. But now that I don't want it from you, it doesn't mean that you don't do anything. أَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةُ. Just because I'm going to be flexible, it doesn't mean that those basic, those main fundamental things that I want from you, which is salat, which is zakat, these I still want you. I want them from you. Just because Allah erases something doesn't mean nothing else takes its place. Now this is something we have to be careful of in the West. Once again, I'm going to start talking about the West a little bit. Just for us to be careful what we're doing, inshallah, keep things in check. Not that we are, it's wrong that we're here or something, anything like that along those lines. No. But we just have to be careful. What do we have to be careful about? Now that I, for example, I'm in the West living, and I'm in this culture, and I'm working, and all of that. Okay, I'm not in an Islamic country, or in a country where Islam is being practiced, the environment is Islamic. I'm not in such an environment. Just because that has been erased, the situation isn't like that, doesn't mean that, okay, I don't have 100%, so now I'm going to drop to zero. What do I mean? For example, now we're always attacking the sisters. Let's attack them one more time. It's just an example though. The brothers have to also be careful about what they're doing, how they're doing things. But for example, a sister, it's not the most encouraged thing in Islam for her to be in a workplace where there's lots of guys. We all know this, right? The least familiarity that someone has with Islam will understand that this isn't something encouraged. It's not something haram necessarily if we go by the boundaries that Allah has set. But at the end of the day, not necessarily the best of things. Alright, so now we're in a country like this, we're working fine, perfectly fine, within the boundaries. But we have to be careful. Slowly, slowly, after a while, you'll see that this person, they feel that, okay, now that I'm here, things have been lifted, they're not the same as back home, for those of us who are from somewhere else. Just because that's the case doesn't mean now I am totally off the hook. That's not the case. So, for example, this sister who's working in such an environment, she will be, once again, forgive me, sisters, this is just an example. For guys, we also have other examples. Just because a sister or a brother, let's just say both, a sister or a brother are working in a place where the opposite gender is there, lots of them, and I have to speak with them and socialize with them and stuff, even that's fine. But then all of a sudden you see, like, all right, you need to socialize, you need to communicate, you even need to act as, you know, express yourself openly and, like, you know, be very welcoming and receiving. That's fine too, very good. As a matter of fact, it should be like that. But you all of a sudden you'll see that they will start sometimes, I hope this is not the case a lot, but laughing and ha ha ha, and like, oh, that was funny, oh, flirt. And then sometimes it reaches a flirting, starts becoming like that. Just because now I'm allowed to be in a workplace like this, I'm working, doesn't mean that my tone is going to change and I'm going to be like, we're all brothers and sisters now. Not only that, all they'll punch each other every now and then on the shoulder and like, oh, Muhammad, you're so funny. And like, after the summer break, oh, where have you been? I missed you so much. They hug each other. We're all brothers and sisters. We're all the children of Adam. So we're all brothers and sisters and shaking hands and all that. So all of a sudden, you see that just because, you know, there was some flexibility here, red lines are also crossed. No, that's not allowed. As I said a few days ago, the price we have to pay, us being in the West, is the least price that we can pay is for us to be here, and for it to be permissible for us to be in a non-Muslim environment is that we go by those rules that Allah has set, at least. Although the environment isn't the best of environments and our surroundings aren't very Islamic. So here also Allah says there's flexibility. I don't want you to stay up all night now, but at the same time, don't forget, it doesn't mean that now everything is, you're off the hook completely. There are no duties anymore. No. Those same duties, those furu'ud deen, I want you to live up to them. And we have a saying in Farsi, I don't know if we have this in other cultures, some people, they look at it like this, they say, alright, now that this much water has crossed my head, you know, now that Allah says, alright, I lifted a little bit off of your back, it's as if I've gone underwater by this much. So now it doesn't matter if yards upon yards of water are over my head. If someone's going to drown, they're going to drown under this much water, if this much water goes over their head, or if yards upon yards of water crosses their head and they drown, right? If you're underwater by this much, will you drown? If you don't get oxygen, you'll drown. If you put your head and there's this much water over your head, you'll drown. So this person says, all right, now that I'm this much underwater, let me just let go completely. I'm drowning anyway, right? No. This is what we have to be careful about. So this saying, this expression doesn't apply to us, inshallah. The last bit of this verse that we're going to cover, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهُ وَخَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمُ أَجْرًا. In this verse, Allah has opened up a firm, and He's the broker in this firm. He's saying, come invest with us. We're the best of brokers. He says, whatever you give me, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. When you go and give money to a broker to do business for you, to invest for you, you like his looks, even if he has good looks, you're not doing it for the looks, you want your money to grow. You're doing it for yourself. Allah says, وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُمْ. What you give Allah but for yourselves because you want it to grow, تَجِدُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ of good deeds, تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ, you will find it with Him later. But how? خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمُ أَجْرًا. This is an investment that will yield profits for sure, 100%, more maybe. Exponentially, it just goes up and up and up. Allah is telling us, listen, I am the best person that can work with your money. Just listen to what I have to say. Give me your time. Not too much of it. Give me even money. I have monetary duties for you, but not all of it. There are some pleasures I want you to stay away from, not all of them. If you look at the haram pleasures out there, there's always a halal version of it. But insan wants more, goes for more, sees that thing that Allah has put in him, they feel that this is going to be satisfied with more. Allah wants us to come to Him. Alright, so I'm your broker. Let me invest for you. We have another verse in the Quran which Allah brings him down so much. So here He brought Himself down to the level of a broker. Okay, in my terms. In my very laymanish terms. But in another verse, He brings Himself down even lower. That's how much He respects us. That's how much He wants us to secure the purpose of our creation. So what does He say in the other verse? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي? Who is it? Where is it? Can I find somebody that what? مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهُ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ. Is there anyone out there that is willing to lend me money? When we give money to a broker, we're not lending him money, we're just letting him work with our money. But here Allah says, lend me, please. It's as if Allah is, nasna'udhu billah, na'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. It's as if Allah is putting His hand out, He's saying, please, give me money. Now here it doesn't mean money necessarily. Give me, lend me. Allah brings Himself down this much. He says, who is there to give me and lend me a good lending, qardan hasanan, fayudha'ifahu lah. This will be a good lending because Allah is going to give back better. When you lend somebody something and they give you back more, that was a good loan that you gave them because you're getting back more. That's why it's qardan hasanan, fayudha'ifahu lah. So that Allah multiplies it for them. Right here, let me open a parenthesis here. Right now you're thinking, that sounds like interest. About interest, let me say this. It's haram. Interest is haram when two people, you lend someone money and then that person, in the contract, in that loan that you're giving, when they're both signing it, it says when you return the money, you're returning it with this much interest, this much percent goes on that capital. That's haram. That same thing that was haram becomes mustahab. If you're lending someone something, and all you want back is that money, but that person themselves voluntarily puts something on there in addition and gives it back. That's so cool. Allah says, I don't want people to make money off of money. So you cannot stipulate in a contract that I want extra back. But that doesn't mean that that person can't do any good gestures and make a good gesture by giving back more. It's interesting. We have another thing in Islamic fiqh and Shia fiqh. I don't know if this is in our Sunni brothers, their fiqh, but for sure is that it is in Shia fiqh that donating money to people, Allah will give you back 10 times more. But we have hadith that when you lend money to someone, lend. You're going to get your money back, but you're going to get 18 times more rewards. Allah is as if He's encouraging that people don't get used to just free money. They have to work for it. When you lend someone money, that person knows he has to pay you back. He's going to go work hard to be able to pay that off and to have extra for himself or herself, right? This is how Islam looks at it. Interest is not halal. But that same interest, if it becomes voluntarily in the sense that it's not stipulated, this person gives it out of his own will, it becomes mustahab, all of a sudden. Parenthesis closed. So, going back to Allah and the person, and Allah who is the one that's taking this money from us, He says, I'll multiply it for you. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, we don't have any other way. The only way we can make it, apparently, is to lend Allah and let Him do the work for us. I don't want to get into that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's able to multiply it. We can't. Our a'mal, our deeds are weak. He has to take it, He has to work on it. Like, it's like you give him some raw material, he's like, dang, this is some ugly stuff. But he takes it in, he works on it, makes it nice and beautiful, right? Like that parent, that teacher, or whatever, that the little kid draws like something, and then they give it to the teacher. The teacher has to be very creative and say, oh, I see here a camera. It looks like a frog, but he says, it's a camera, very nice, very nice. And then, you know, has to add their own little touch. Allah has to give it a touch, or else our a'mal are very weak. In the hadith of Ahlul Bayt or the Prophet, they say that don't ever let yourself feel that you are out, there is no shortcoming when it comes to your a'mal, when it comes to your deeds. So we're trying our best. We're happy that we're obedient to Allah, inshallah. But at the same time, we know our flaws. Another verse, do not keep your hand chained to your neck, nor open it altogether, or you will sit blameworthy, regretful. Why do I cite this verse? Yes, Allah says, give me time. Give me some of your wealth. But He says, give me some, not all. Some people go too far, hurting their own families, hurting their own selves, hurting their ones around them, because they go to extremes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this verse, for example, He says, listen, if you're going to give, don't be the type that it's as if their hands are chained to their necks. They can't give at all. And don't like be like those who like their hand is just open, like nothing stays in their hand, it just falls out. Be something in between, or else you'll be regretful. This extreme and that extreme. So this is something we also, as Muslims, as moderate Muslims, as Muslims that go by the laws, no more, no less, this is something we have to keep in mind as well. Or else what Imam Ali alayhi salam says will apply to us. There's a hadith that by Imam Ali that the jahil is always either on this side of the spectrum of extremism, meaning super slacking off, or on that side where they're going too far. Jahil. A person who knows about their deen, you won't find them this side or that side. They're always in between, because the law of Allah is an in-between law. The law of Allah is a law that doesn't want us to live differently. The law of Allah is not a law that tells us not to get married, not to have a good time. The law of Allah says you get married, you have a good time, you have fun, all of this, but within these boundaries, live a normal life. As I've said again and again. This concludes Surah Al-Muzzammil. Now, I'm going to go back from the beginning. Go over the points, the major points that we covered. Those of you who've been following, this will be kind of like a little bonus type of thing, where you'll see that the different points that we covered, if you can pull out the surah or the translation of it on your phones or whatever you have, it'll be good too. I'll go over just the points that we made, not the arguments for them, so that we see how far we got in this surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil. Muzzammil meant a person who was wrapped in his clothing, in his sleepwear. We explained why that was. Why was the Prophet in his sleepwear? Because he was tired, it was a long day. The people are mocking him. It's hard to change the hearts of the people. And the fact that the Quran puts his finger on the fact that he's muzzammil means we are acknowledging that you're tired and it's time for you to sleep. But although we acknowledge this, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, stay up during the night except a little bit. Sleep a little bit. Here, there was a question, what does it mean a little bit? We said, does it mean less than 50%? Are numbers here what is meant? No. Why? Because of the next verses. نِصْفَهُ أَمَنْ قُسْمِنْهُ قَلِيلًا أَوْزِدْ عَلَيْهِ. The next two verses said that when we say little, it means a relative amount. Less than people normally sleep, even if it's going to be more than 50%. نِصْفَهُ, half of the night. Less than half, a little bit more than half. It doesn't matter, 50% isn't the milak, it's not the criterion. What the criterion is that if people are sleeping like 7-8 hours a night, you sleep 4 hours a night, 5 hours a night. Although 5 is more than 50%, but 5 hours is still a little. So this littleness was relative. أَوْزَدْ عَلَيْهِ وَرَتِّلَ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. There was a, in the end of the verse it says, and recite the Qur'an in a tartili fashion. As was explained, tartili fashion here means not too fast, not too slow. And we have a hadith for that. There was also a discussion about what does Qur'an mean here. There was three possibilities. Qur'an here could have meant Qur'an outside of your salat. Once you're done with your salat al-layl, O Prophet, do Qur'an, recite Qur'an. We said this can't be possible because back then, when these verses were revealed, there was no Qur'an there for the Prophet to pick up and start reading. There was maybe three or four surahs that had been revealed. The other two possibilities were Qur'an here might mean salat itself. Do your salat in a tartili fashion. The third possibility, which was the best, was that in your salat, the Qur'an that you recite it in a tartili fashion. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Verse 5 was the reason why the Prophet has to do all those things that Allah is asking him. Because we are going to send down unto you and reveal unto you a heavy word. We proved why the heavy word here means Qur'an. The reason for that was because this was in the beginning of Islam. If this was towards the end of the Prophet's life, it wouldn't make sense to say, we're going to send down a heavy word to you now. Because the Qur'an has been revealed already over the last 20 years. Why now? So we spoke about that. Why the Qur'an is called taqeel, one of two reasons maybe, or both, is because one, the Qur'an is hard to grasp completely. All the details, the intricate details of the Qur'an are not graspable for us. We can't grasp it. Then the question came up that, okay, well, isn't this a Qur'an that's for everyone? Isn't this a book of guidance for everyone? Then why is it that there are some things we can't understand? The answer was that it's a book of guidance for everyone. So if guidance depends on us understanding something, we're supposed to understand it. But lots of the details that are in the Qur'an aren't relevant to our guidance directly. Those are extra, those are bonuses for the people who look into the Qur'an, reflect over the Qur'an. So it's either because of this that the Qur'an is heavy, because it's heavy to grasp, like a heavy lesson. That lesson was heavy because it was hard for me to grasp. It's either because of that, or heavy because the burden of it. It's a heavy burden to apply it, to make sure that the people listen to it, and so on. And I think in the end we concluded that both can be the reason why it's heavy, or called heavy in this verse. إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوى مقيلا إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا. These two verses explain why the night is the time where this Salat al-Layl has to happen. Because there's a destination. I want to get to that destination, which is called Allah. When you want to walk towards something, you take strides, you take steps. أقوامو أشد وطئا. The strides you take in the night time towards Allah are bigger. They're bigger steps towards Him. In the day, the steps might be smaller. That's one. أقوى مقيلا. They back what you're claiming. You claim you love Allah. Let me see you wake up in the middle of the night. How come you can wake up in the middle of the night to call your fiancé? Right? Not before you get married, because after you get married, in a few months pass, you know, things become normal. But when you're engaged, it's all love and hearts now. That no one has to push you to wake up. You set your alarm, you wake up, you call. If she's like on the other side of the world and the times don't match. Right? Here also, if Allah says, if you claim to love me, if you claim spirituality, to prove it, let me see you wake up. If you wake up in the night, أَقْوَى مُقِيلًا. That is strong support. That I'll take what you're saying seriously if you do that. What about the daytime? إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا. Another reason why you have to do it at night, because in the day you have a lot of other things you have to do, O Prophet. And here, we spoke about how the rulings of Salat al-Layl are, and all of those things, and how Ayatul Bahjat says that Salat al-Layl doesn't mean to sleep less, it means to just shift your sleep time a little bit, and we gave the explanations there. You see, all this stuff is coming out of these verses. وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكْ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. How here, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكْ is different than وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكْ. We explained that. I don't want to open that one up again. تَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. Disconnect from everything and connect to Allah. Look to Him as your Lord. Why? Next verse is رَبُّ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. He is the Lord of the East and the West. Meaning in this land, in this material world, as if he's the big shot. But not only this material world. La ilaha illahu. He's the Lord of everything, actually. There's no God but Him. So, turn to Him. تَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. One. Two. فَاتَّخِذْهُ وَكِيلًا. Take Him as your agent. If he's so big, if He's so strong, why not have Him as my agent? Well, maybe He's too big for me. And I'm not allowed to do that. Yes, that's something good you're saying. Sometimes you want to connect yourself with someone that's big. He says, I didn't give you permission. But here he's giving us permission. He's saying, take me as your agent. So why not? But here we have to open up that whole discussion of tawakkul and how we're supposed to do tawakkul. And how a true mutawakkil, a person who has tawakkul in Allah, when you look at them in action and in practice, you don't see much of a difference between them and the materialistic people who don't even believe in a God. The difference is up here, is what I believe in, how I look at things. That was explained. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهَجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Patience, the importance of patience, we talked about it. وَهَجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Even if you're going to turn away from them, O Prophet, turn away from them in a beautiful fashion. Even this might have an effect. And then the tone of Allah changed. وَذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ وَلِلْنَعْمَةِ وَمَهِلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا. These people that are turning away from you, O Prophet, they are busy with their own problems. I don't have too much hate for them, Allah is saying, as if. But the ulil-na'ma, the people who have blessings, the wealthy people, I have problems with them when they turn away from me. Because they have no reason to turn away from me. That's why Allah's tone changes here. Allah seems to be angry now. Dharni, leave me with them. I'll take care of them. How are you going to take care of them? Next verses. Inna ladayna ankalan wa jahima wa ta'aman dha ghussa wa adhaban alima. We got the stuff to show them the punishment of what they did. And as a matter of fact, it's not even a punishment. It's their own deeds that we're just giving to them. Ankalan, chains, jahima, fire, ta'aman dha ghussa, a food that you choke on. Adab and alima, a painful punishment. Alright, when's that going to happen, O Allah? يَوْمَ تَرْجُفُ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ وَكَانَتِ الْجِبَالُ كَثِيبًا مَهِيلًا. On the day when the earth and the mountains will be violently shaken, وَكَانَتِ الْجِبَالُ كَثِيبًا مَهِيلًا. Then these mountains will be like overturned heaps of sand, And then here we started talking about how we have another verse in the Quran that talks about the mountains being a mirage. And then we went a little bit deeper and like more esoteric and stuff. Right? It was here, I think. فَعَصَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ رَسُولًا شَاهِدًا عَلَيْكُمْ كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ رَسُولًا. This, I think we covered this yesterday, where Allah says, we sent you a messenger. We sent Fir'aun a messenger. Oh Allah, who was that messenger that you sent to Fir'aun? I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to say it was Prophet Musa, because for me here, it's not about Prophet Musa anymore. It's about the fact that I sent a prophet, a messenger, a representative to Fir'aun, and he went against him. When you go against my representative, whoever it's going to be, Musa, Isa, whoever it's going to be, you're going against me. So, oh people who the Quran is addressing, be careful that you don't tread down that same path that the people of Fir'aun, that Fir'aun himself did. We've sent now to you a Rasul. Let's see how you guys pass this test or fail this test. What did Fir'aun do? عَصَى فِرْعَوْنُ الرَّسُولُ فَأَخَذْنَاهُ أَخْذًا وَبِيلًا. We punished him severely. فَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ. If you decide to turn away from our Prophet, فَكَيْفَ تَتَّقُونَ. How are you going to protect yourselves? How are you going to be safe from a day that makes the young old? Here there was two possibilities. Makes the young old because it's a very long day, or makes the young old because of the pressure. And the clues that are in the verses and the wording of the verse points to the second possibility, that the pressure of that day is so much that it makes young people old. If that pressure, you were going to have it in this life, young people would turn old. And there was other verses that we cited about the hardship of that day, but at the same time there was this also explanation that this is for those people who turn away from the truth and don't repent. There's always hope. Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, as I've said before, says, it's not that hard to not go to hell. That's not our objective in life. We have more to accomplish than that. As-sama'u munfatirun bih kana wa'duhu maf'ula. The heavens or the sky is going to explode from that pleasure, from that pressure of that day. And have no doubt about this. Because sometimes when you have a doubt, no matter how big that event is going to be, when you have a doubt about it, it becomes insignificant still. You're like, inshallah, it's not going to happen. Allah says, وَكَانَ وَعْدَهُ كَانَ وَعْدُهُ مَفْعُولًا. This is going to happen for sure. That's how much pressure this day has. إِنَّ هَذِهِ تَذْكِرَ فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ سَبِيلًا. This is a reminder. I'm not going to force you. In the end, whoever wants will find his way to me, will tread the path that I have set in before him towards me. It all depends on how much you respect yourselves, how much respect we have for ourselves. And the last verse is long. The few points that we had in this last verse, I don't know if I should read it. We're running low on time a little bit. I want to get some more questions and answers today. But there was a couple major points that we had here, and that was that, I'll just go over the points. We had one point was, we talked about yesterday, was Salat al-Layl wajib on the Prophet or not? We said that, personally, I can't come to a conclusion based on this verse and those similar verses that we had before. Allama Tabtabai, Ayatollah Makarim Shirazi say it was wajib. Shahid Mutahari was of the opinion that it wasn't wajib on the Prophet and it wasn't necessary for it to be wajib. He brought reasoning for it. But there was an answer to that reasoning then, and that's why we couldn't take his reasoning. With all the respect that we have for our ulama, this is how it works with the ulama and the hawza, and how they, when time comes to discuss things, it doesn't matter who you are, it's the reasoning that is to be followed. Okay, it wasn't wajib on the Prophet. What about the mu'mineen? The mu'mineen also, it wasn't wajib on them. And then we brought the reason for that through these verses, the same verses, the clues in the verses that we had. What did Allah do? He says, I know there's problems because of this night prayer. You're staying up all night because of this night prayer. So I'm going to let you go. But just because I let you go when it comes to the night prayer, it doesn't mean that there are not other things that I want you to make sure you do. So just because you're off the hook with one thing doesn't mean you're off the hook completely. And the end of the verse that we covered in the beginning of this lecture, that Allah asks, Allah brings Himself down for us. That's how much He loves us. although he is so high that he has angels doing things for him, that's how high he is. He can't do things himself with this dunya as if will blow up. That's how high he is, but he brings himself down. He says, listen, I give you everything you have to begin with, but now I'm asking you for it. It's like the dad who fills the piggy bank of his son, but then when the son cracks his piggy bank open, he says, son, can you lend me some money so that I put it in the bank for you, so that like, or I invest it for you? Dad, you're the one who gave me the money. But he loves his son so much, not only does he not talk about it too much, that I gave you this money, but he also uses the word, can you please lend me some of that money? Inshallah, Allah gives us tawfiq to continue with this methodology of understanding the Qur'an. I had some sayings from Ayatollah Bahjat that I wanted to share with you, but I think if we do Q&A, maybe it's better, because this is also going to take a lot of time. I have like about 10, 12 sayings here by Ayatollah Bahjat, where he talks about the Qur'an. All of these are things that he would say before he would begin his Bahth al-Kharij, his advanced fiqh lessons in the Hawza. He would sometimes say different things. These have been recorded and compiled in a book. These ones are the ones that he talks about the Qur'an. I chose some of them. Let me just say two of them out of these 12. So I don't know which one to choose. I'll just randomly... No, that's a good one actually. It says the Qur'an, Ayatollah Bahjat says, the Qur'an is a book that builds prophets, makes prophets. Alright, now, what does that mean? He goes on. Leave the subhanAllahs for later. Because prophets are of two types. Number one, prophets that have been sent by Allah and have been determined and chosen by Allah. But another type of prophets are kamali prophets. Kamal comes from perfection. They are not really prophets that Allah chose, but they, through, let me just translate what he says, let me try not to act like him. Through proper iman and faith and those beliefs that we all have, and amal, acting upon the guidelines of the Qur'an, have reached some of the perfections of the prophets that the prophets had. So there we go. That's on the spot. It builds prophets in this sense. A person who reaches perfection isn't a prophet, but that's not the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is perfection. They reach this perfection. That's what the Bahjat is saying. So therefore he concludes. He says, the Qur'an trains kamali prophets and builds prophets out of normal people. I'll just leave it at that. And inshallah, we take heed and are inspired by these words, inshallah. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Recite salawat.